When you talk about the economy, of course, it is by far the most important issue for voters. It's also true right now, Mr. President, that voters by a wide margin trust Trump more on the economy. They say that in polls. And part of the reason for that may be the numbers. And you're aware of many of these, of course. The cost of buying a home in the United States is double what it was when you look at your monthly costs from before the pandemic. Real income, when you account for inflation, is actually down since you took office. Economic growth last week, far short of expectations. Consumer confidence, maybe no surprise, is near a two-year low. With less than 6 months to go to Election Day, are you worried that you're running out of time to turn that around?
We've already turned it around. Look, you look at the Michigan survey. For 65% of American people think they're in good shape economically. They think the nation's not in good shape, but they're personally in good shape. The polling data has been wrong all along. You know, how many you guys do a poll with CNN? How many folks you have to call to get one response? The idea that we're in a situation where things are so bad, the folks, we've created more jobs. We're in a situation where people have access to good paying jobs. And the last I saw, the combination of the inflation, the cost of inflation, all those things, that's really worrisome to people with good reason. That's why I'm working very hard to bring the cost of rentals down, to increase the number of homes that are available. But let me say it this way. When I started this administration, people were saying there's going to be a collapse of the economy. We have the strongest economy in the world. Let me say it again, in the world.
The Fed waited way too long to raise rates, and now we're in this sticky inflation situation. We were all screaming about it at the time. When are they going to take action? The American voters now have, for the very first time in a very long time, back-to-back presidencies to compare. Donald Trump versus Joe Biden. And on the economic story, you know, that macro story under President Trump was astonishing. He delivered robust economic growth, very little to no inflation over the course of 4 years, and historically low unemployment for all demographic groups. Compared to this catastrophe under Joe Biden, it's a no-brainer.
Look, you can't only love your country when you win, number one. How many court cases do they have? Supreme Court cases. They all said this is totally legitimate election. This is Trump. I mean, it's saying whether he, and he may not accept the outcome of the election. I promise you he won't.
Promise that he won't.
He won't.
So,
and which is dangerous. Look, I travel around the world with other world leaders. You know what they all say? Not a joke. 80% of them, after we have a major meeting, they go, "We've got to win. My democracy to stay, their democracy to stay." Because when you think of the things he's saying, if I'm reelected, if he's reelected the president, he's going to make sure his attorney general prosecutes those he tells him to prosecute. And if he doesn't, he's going to fire on the first. Not just the first. No, no. He said this about prosecution across the board. He's going to be, I am your retribution. What president has ever said anything like this, though? But he means it. Going to wipe out the change we made in Medicare, change we made in terms of drug prices, change we made, you know, wipe it all out. And then he's going to put in a 10% tax, which is going to increase everybody's cost, the average American cost, $1,500 a year. I mean, listen to what he's saying.
Donald Trump is a phenomenon that's not going away. And I'm wondering when the Democratic Party is going to figure out, you know, you can make fun of him, you can talk about him being on trial and everything like that. He's not going away. None of this seems to be damaging him with the core of his support.
No, and you look at Wisconsin, and that is just absolutely ground zero for probably the state of the three most important states where this election is going to be decided. And the polling, the recent polling, is so close that it just shows how this election is going to be such a nail biter and really subject to what crazy event is going to happen and ultimately shake it in one direction or the other over the next 6 months.
But now we know. We've seen him and we've heard him. And so we need to do a better job of making it absolutely clear that someone who says these things, you know, maybe he wouldn't jail all of his political opponents. One is one too many. Maybe he wouldn't try to force out of business the, you know, members of the press who didn't agree with him. One is one too many. We go down the line. And maybe this would be our last election, because someone who will not accept the validity of an election is someone who doesn't believe in elections. He believes in his own power, his own right to power, and his demand that he be installed regardless of whether he gets the votes or not.
I seek recognition to give notice of my intent to raise a question of the privileges of the House. The form of the resolution is as follows. Declaring the office of Speaker of the House Representatives to be vacant. This is the uniparty for the American people watching.
Gentlelady will suspend.
Others use this term unity party like it's an insult. It's a negative. But isn't that what the American people are looking for? Unity, bipartisanship?
I agree with you. Bipartisanship a few years ago was a good thing. When people could work across the aisle and there was common ground, it was a good thing. What Marjorie Taylor Greene is trying to do is send a message to the American people that the institutions are corrupt, that the institutions are against you, the hardworking American. I think that fails, and it should fail, because the institutions are made up of a lot of really good, hardworking people who are trying their very best under difficult circumstances, under very polarizing circumstances, to get good things done.
This is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies, because we're going medieval on these people. Putin's not got a free shot. All these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
It's Thursday, 9 May, in the year of our Lord, 2024. Welcome to the War Room. Here with my wingman, Natalie Winters, joining us this morning from her duty, normally hosting one of the afternoon shows. Natalie, thank you. By the way, I want to give shout out to the team in Denver, and also Real America's Voice team in Denver, and my own production team led by producer Cameron. An incredible cold open right there. I think you see really the kind of the state politically of the country. I want to start at the end. Stephanie Ruhle calls it the unity party. The unity party. This is the problem we have in the United States. You have a ruling class that has an instrument of their rule on Capitol Hill in both the Senate and the House. And it is a group that works together constantly for the benefits of the wealthy, the benefits of the powerful, and the benefits of their own sinecures and position. They work against the American people. The clown talk from Ken Buck is a perfect example of one of these guys that comes to Washington, D.C. from the great state of Colorado, is completely rolled up in the system and spurts out that happy talk. No, the institutions are totally corrupt from top to bottom, and they have to be purged and they have to be reformed. From the FBI to the DOJ to CDC, to NIH, to FDA, pick it, the Defense Department, the CIA. It's across the board. Why? Because they've become ossified over the last 50 or 60 years with essentially one-party rule. And it's the populist nationalists. And you heard the brave MTG yesterday. MTG goes into the lion's den and calls them out, and they all boo, and she's absolutely correct. Republicans and Democrats. In a warning shot to Polly Pockets Johnson, we got more votes yesterday on the first round than we got on McCarthy. And you were only saved by the true Speaker of the House, Hakeem Jeffries. It is outrageous that if you're congressman, and go to Bill Blaster, Grace Chung has got it up. If your congressman was one of the, I think there had 11 votes to support MTG, another 10 didn't vote. Don't know why you didn't vote, right? You got to step into the breach here. If your congressman's not on there, including the original Hard Eight, right? Or I think six of them or five of them didn't, you know, from Burchett to Gates to all of them, the excuses are not good enough. And Matt Gaetz, I love Matt Gaetz, but his thing, two guys may flip. Hey, then call their bluff. We ought to be in the business of calling bluffs. Netanyahu ought to call Biden's bluff. Call his bluff, going to Rafa, right? President Trump ought to call the bluff of the judge. He ought to go there on the gag order. Call him. Call his bluff, see if he'll put you in jail. He puts you in jail, you'll win by 10 points. We ought to be calling bluffs right now. Call the bluffs, Republicans. If Matt Gaetz and Good and the rest of the guys, Burchett and these guys who we love, if their fear is there are a couple of Republicans that will flip to the Democratic Party or vote for Hakeem Jeffries as Speaker, call their bluff. Let's find it out now. This is the great unmasking. We cannot continue to go on. I want to, Natalie, your thoughts. Ken Buck at the end. Oh, Stephanie Ruhle, she called it the unity. Talk about a gaslight. Oh, it's the unity party. And what we need is consensus. And what we need is bipartisanship. If you hear of bipartisanship, the corrupt cartel is winning. That's how you got the Kevin McCarthy two-year deal for Biden. Right? With $7 trillion a year spent that we don't have, $2 trillion in deficits, and now we know it's embedded into inflation by having to refinance a third of the federal debt all the time. Inflation's not going to go away. That goes back to the first question. Aaron Burnett, and you see how they tippy-toe up to ask the question, well, you know, inflation's at 30%, purchase price of the dollar's down. What do you have to say? Oh, Biden, this is why he doesn't do interviews. Oh, Americans have enough money. Sure they do. That's why they hate you. On any question in the economy, you are hated. And last night, you see why his handlers, do you see him standing on the stage with Donald Trump? Donald Trump will bench press this guy. The first time I've actually felt that this Michelle Obama thing might be real is when Democrats watch that and watch this tottering. By the way, he was the dumb as a brick when he was a senator. Now he's got dementia. He's even dumber than a brick. No way he can stand on a debate stage with Trump. This is going to be a 10-point win. The uniparty, the corruption, you've spent your young career just doing nothing but investigative work in this. When Ken Buck says that, oh, these institutions are full of good people. Of course they're full of good people. It's the institutions are corrupt with certain of the people that head it and the people that finance it and benefit from it. Natalie, your thoughts?
Well, if the last few months, I think, frankly, the last 2 years, if not decades, with the exception of President Trump's reign, represent unity, then I say bring the chaos, because it's just a unified message, a unified effort to really screw over the American worker, the average American citizen. It's what you were talking about in your wonderful speech last night. I'm surprised you even made it here. The line was so long for all pictures and signatures. But no, Ken Buck, these people stand up there. All they want is their cushy lobbying gig after they resign.
And now his lobbying gig and his job on MSNBC.
The 1-2 punch. But that is unity to them. That is what the unified message is. It's a unified message of screwing over Americans by making sure that the southern border is open so they can continue to depress our wages, right? The corporations love it. The big donors love it. They love sending money, outsourcing it to Ukraine. Even though the Biden White House spins it, it's actually great for our industrial base. They are laughing behind closed doors. They're booing MTG on stage. But the buried lead from yesterday is that Fox News didn't even throw to MTG's
you covered,
motion
I'm
to
really
make
proud.
It.
Real we America's Voice, you were doing the five. You threw it to the floor.
We tossed to it.
Tossed
entirely.
It, and Fox News did not cover it.
No, and she was going through chapter and verse, making very well-documented, well-substantiated claims, all the charges against Mike Johnson for what he's failed to do, whether it was Ukraine, the border, just the kind of Washington behind-closed-doors deal-making that they're doing. And it shows you that is unity in the mainstream media, and Fox is part of that corporate-backed legacy media unity where they want to be able to set the goalposts, and the goalposts are not deposing Mike Johnson.
Yes.
They are so, remember the cover of the New York Times when we deposed Speaker McCarthy? We were sowing chaos. You know what I say to the New York Times and to all these peddlers of unity? Bring the chaos, because unity has done absolutely nothing for the American
people.
Well,
unity is just the system going down and doing exactly what it's going to do. It's going to get you the $7 trillion spending. It's going to get you the $2 trillion of deficits. It's going to get you the inflation. It's going to get you the endless wars. It's going to get you the... It's always...
The wide open border. Where has unity
border.
Gotten us?
Right. It's all unity means submission. It's like Islam is a religion of peace. Unity means submission. And we're not going to submit. We have not yet begun to fight. The half-life of Johnson... he's not an effective speaker anymore because Hakeem Jeffries actually runs the House. Okay, Short commercial break. We're going to be back. We got packed wall-to-wall today in the war room. Be back in a moment. Can your savings weather an economic storm? Think about what you've put away for the future. Inflation can render cash worthless. Real estate can crash like in 2008. Economies built on a mountain of debt can fall like a house of cards. There are very few physical assets you can invest in that can stand the test of time. Gold has withstood this as a valued form of money for millennia. I actually think for 8,000 years of man's recorded history. It's why people are flocking to it now, why Birch Gold is busier than ever. Through a little-known tax loophole, Birch Gold lets you convert a retirement account into a tax-sheltered IRA in physical gold. And the best part, it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. Let me repeat that. It doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. To learn more about this, to immerse yourself in information, text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898 and claim your free info kit on gold. Let me ask you this again. Can your IRA or 401k weather an economic storm? Because a storm's coming. If it can't, call the people I trust. That's Birch Gold. Text Bannon to 989898. Secure your savings today. Birch Gold Group.
Only love your country when you win. Number one. How many court cases do they have? Supreme Court cases. They all said this is totally legitimate election. This is Trump. I mean, it's saying whether he, and he may not accept the outcome of the election. I promise you he won't.
Promise that he won't.
He won't.
So,
which is dangerous.
Put a pin in. Great. Thank you. Just stop right there. It's great. Don't rewind it. Don't do anything. You see how in his head is the illegitimate Biden regime? Remember, Real America's Voice is not CBS, NBC, with no other support, including the corrupt Murdochs, who are the worst, right? And they wrote an $800 million check on this. It's inside Biden's head. Biden's got to try to make his own case. Axios reported over the weekend they will never talk about the 81 million votes. They're talking now about the battleground states and the 25 counties, the focus, what we've been focused on for President Trump to win, and what we went back and deconstructed about how they stole it. Biden never talks about the 81 million. And right there, it's inside his head. Look at that. They lost all the Supreme Court cases. You know, it's in Biden's head. He's illegitimate. Now we got to drop the hammer and press and press and press and mock them and ridicule them. He's not a legitimate president of the United States. He did not win the 2020 election. Overwhelming support now in the country for that, and it's inside his head. And this babbling, doddering old man, we can pull this out. We can now. Why is he not doing an interview as a president of the United States, a live interview with real questions, not Aaron Burnett tippy-toeing up there? The country, the prices are 30% higher. And him giving so, hey, Americans got all the money they need, right? No, the Americans are not the folks that you did the Ukraine $60 billion with, or you did the 1.6 Green New Deal. These are not all your cronies. We understand they've got money. We understand how the 1% is doing. We understand how the 5% is doing. We're talking about average Americans who hate your guts and now understand fully that you're not a legitimate president of the United States. Okay, let's play Jabba the Hillary right now. Let's play Jabba the Hillary. Let's see. She's all puffed up today. Let's continue on in our cold open here.
But now we know. We've seen him and we've heard him. And so we need to do a better job of making it absolutely clear that someone who says these things, you know, maybe he wouldn't jail all of his political opponents. One is one too many. Maybe he wouldn't try to force out.
Stop. No. We not political opponents, but we are going to jail all criminals like you and your husband, the sexual predator. There's going to be a great accounting, transparency. We're going to go back to this is what the House should be doing now. You see how she's nervous about it? She's sitting there on the sofa. Well, maybe he won't jail all of his political opponents. But one's too many. No, one's not enough. And they're not political opponents. They're enemies and traitors to this country. And we're going to get to the bottom of all of it. Hillary, understand something. President Trump actually is very kind-hearted. He's a good man. He's a decent man. He's a very kind man. But there are people in this movement that are not kind, okay? I consider myself one of them. You're a target. You are corrupt. You are a traitor to this country, the people around you, the Clinton Foundation, the crimes you had, the sexual predator husband of yours, which I don't think there's any, because of the Me Too laws, I'm not sure there's any statute of limitations on that, is it? They're going after guys 30 and 40 years ago. He's in play. We know this from when they came to me about we took them to the debate. A couple of those women said Clinton raped them. Clinton raped them. The rest say he's a sexual predator. That's all open. That's completely open. I don't think the immunity that the Supreme Court's gonna issue covers his time as governor of Arkansas, and that Me Too stuff goes back from time immemorial, right? No, Hillary, you should be very worried. You're a traitor. You're a criminal. The criminals and traitors around Biden, you should be very worried. Chris Wray and the FBI, President Trump said yesterday, and he said yesterday, no, we got to build a big, beautiful FBI thing. We got to do it in the middle of town for a redevelopment of Washington, D.C., not Northern Virginia. President Trump, we love you. But hey, can the war room offer a plan B, humbly offer a plan B that I put up? How about this? We take the Hoover building, which is a monstrosity. We take the Hoover building apart. You can't do it brick by brick because slabs. We take it apart slab by slab, okay, until it's nothing. And then we do like a Carthaginian piece. We do like the Romans. We salt the earth around it so nothing else gets built back there for like, I don't know, a millennia. You like that idea?
Well, you know what they also never say anymore? Most secure election in history. You would think that they would be leveraging that.
So you pick up the codes when they talk about it. Don't you find it shocking? And when Axios came out and Biden, if he had gotten 81 million votes, a record blew Obama away. Wouldn't he be beating his chest all the time? He was better than Obama. 81 million votes is my base. I'm expanding from that. I'm going to get 90 million votes or 100 million votes. You never hear it. And Axios actually got in there, talked to his team, and they're talking about the 6% of the six states. That's what's in play, the 25 counties this is going to come down to. Don't you find it shocking? And it's in his head. A guy in his fourth year is arguing about his legitimacy. And, oh, Trump never won anything at the Supreme Court. Doesn't it strike you as odd? At the same time, they then start talking about what the wages of losing are with Trump. Oh, he says he's the retribution. Hillary Clinton getting all nervous. Well, he's not going to jail all of it. He's going to try to jail all his political opponents. They're sweating the Trump victory.
Of course, even when Obama got shellacked in the midterms, he walked out and he said, this is all the executive orders I'm going to do, right? They ruled with an iron fist. Meanwhile, you have Joe Biden, who should have, 81 million votes in the most secure election in history. They never even talk about it. But frankly, I think it's more of an indictment on our congressional Republicans. If you think about what Joe Biden right now is doing with aid to Israel, withholding it, that's basically what they accused Trump of doing, right? With Ukraine, the perfect phone call.
Yes.
We saw
when the House is actually authorized, it's supposed to go.
We can't even authorize an impeachment inquiry against one of the most, if not the most, corrupt presidents in history with a crackhead.
You bring
son.
Up a great point of history that I think people have to understand. In 14, after we had, by the way, this is after we shut down the government, said, oh, you're going to lose if you do this. Sweeping victories in 14. Obama, to his credit, had a press conference the next day. He walks out and he goes, they said, what do you think of the results of the election where, you know, the Republicans at the House getting seats in the Senate, all that? And he says, here's what I think about it. Here's 10 executive orders I'm signing today, including the DACA thing. He says, suck on this. Here's 10 executive orders. You guys go deal with it, right? And then Boehner collapsed in 48 hours on a budget deal. Boehner absolutely did the Republican collapse. So once again, you see what a... We are inside these people's head.
But
Joe Biden does not think he's a legitimate. He knows he's not a legitimate president of the United States. And now when they roll him out for these interviews, he like blurts it out.
And you can see it with the way that they're launching all the immigration policy. You bring up how Obama was so in your face about the DACA stuff. All of the radical immigration policies that Joe Biden is pushing, they're not putting out grand press releases on the White House website. They're not holding press conferences to address it. They're doing it behind closed doors, and it's up to shows like ours and other news outlets to kind of get the whistleblower reports from Border Patrol, from ICE agents, right? Because they know they don't have the authority. And that's what I've always said. They have been in business too long with the Chinese Communist Party, where they have they've drank the Kool-Aid in the sense that they don't actually need any legitimacy from the American people because they don't care.
This goes back to the Ken Buck, whining. It is the institutions. Mm-hmm. The institutions actually do have good people in them. But the institutions, from all the way from the health biomedical industrial complex, the defense industrial complex, the intelligence industrial complex, the lawfare of the FBI, it's the institutions that are the problem. It's the institutions we're going to purge.
And it's those institutions in collusion with the NGOs. Right. That is the dark money filtration system that are seeding all of these far left wing groups and far left ideologies
that we fund through taxpayers. This is why taxpayers are so outrageous. We fund all the NGOs.
We fund our own demise. When you see Joe Biden up there, the mental decline, it's fun to mock him. But I think we need to focus on not just the managed decline, but the accelerated decline of this country. And that is why, you know what? You know why they want Joe Biden? Donald Trump was the epitome of a strong man that I learned about in my high school classrooms, right? That kind of ruler, he epitomized that. They want a weak man like Joe Biden who's up there because they don't want someone with a policy, with ideas, with ideologies that they can push. They want an
and stand in the breach
vessel.
And stand up against them. Okay, we've got an elderly gentleman who is sharp as a tack. In fact, Steve Stern, what are you, 81 or 82? You're the most ambitious, aggressive, hardworking guy I've ever met. Are you 81 now? Have you had your 82nd birthday yet?
83rd birthday, May 20th. We're going to have it in my warehouse. 70th year in business. 100 people are coming. We're going to celebrate. And next week, we're going to have something that's super important. May 16th. Oh. You see my email on the bottom. You need to get my email and email. Go ahead, Steve.
No. Tell us, but first off, on the 16th, I think right now, we're going to send Jane Zirkel. Jane Zirkel is going to do a live hit from the warehouse for your 83rd birthday. We got to do that. Tell me about the email. Tell me about your weekly calls. Everybody right now is focused on the grassroots, how we're going to turn out the vote. How are we going to do it, Steve Stern?
So we've got May 16, 325. Email me. We'll send you the link. You got us 1,000 new people on the last one. We had 20,000 listening. Cleta Mitchell is going to be on as our feature speaker. Who's counting? Garland Fabarino in for Georgia, letting you know what's going on in the lawsuits. One of your favorites, Colonel John Mills. He's going to talk about his three-point plan to get the illegals off the voter rolls. Greg Stenstrom from Pennsylvania about the lawsuits he's doing. And I want to thank John Farrow out in Pennsylvania who's helping me. We need to get people helping me. We need to make calls. We're seeing it now. People are stepping up. They got to know how to get involved. We're getting a list of all the head of the Trump campaigns in every state for you. We're going to have also on our Zoom Hayden Ludwig, who's a big writer, who's going to talk about getting illegals off the voter rolls. Dennis Schechner is going to talk about hand counts. Then Deb Monks is going to be talking about voter rolls. So this is happening there. That's important. And a lot is happening all over the United States.
Steve Stern, hang on. We're going to get back to you. We got Adam Mullen from Epoch Times. Eli Crane's going to join us. Birch Gold, it's times of turbulence, and baby, you ain't seen nothing yet. I think it's going to get a little more turbulent. Find out what a financial hedge is. Find out how gold can be that hedge, like it's been for 8,000 years of recorded history. Birchgold.com/Ben and talk to Philip, Patrick, and the team. Do it today. For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one, and that's for over a decade. Patriot Mobile is a proud supporter of this show, and I am proud to partner with Glenn Story and his team. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to, but without funding people that hate your values, without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, and our military, veterans, and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. And I mean easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan that suits your needs. Just go to PatriotMobile.com/Bannon or call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. You get a free month of service when you use the offer code Bannon. That's PatriotMobile.com/Bannon. Join me. Make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Bannon. That's PatriotMobile.com/Bannon. Support people that support your values.
recognition to give notice of my intent to raise a question of the privileges of the House. The form of the resolution is as follows. Declaring the office of Speaker of the House Representatives to be vacant. This is the Uniparty for the American people watching.
Gentlelady will suspend.
Okay, let me have it. Congressman Eli Crane, one of the 11 that voted to support Marjorie Taylor Greene's motion to vacate. Congressman Crane, obviously you know you're a big hero to this audience. You stood in the breach many times before. Why did you choose to stand in the breach yesterday?
Well, thanks for having me on, Steve. Yesterday, that was a vote of principle. I mean, I like many Americans, have been completely disappointed with the job that Speaker Johnson has done. I just did a town hall event in Payson, Arizona this last weekend, and we asked the voters what they thought of the job that Speaker Johnson has done, and the room erupted into boos. You know, so I think, you know, you can go back through his short tenure, Steve. You can look at minibuses. You can look at CRs. You can look at the FISA vote, the Senate supplemental bill where we sent a bunch of money to Ukraine. But I think, you know, the biggest, you know, tell to me is that the Democrats are saving him, right? The Democrats didn't find religion overnight, Steve. It's still the same party that's orchestrated this open border, still the same party that calls for sanctuary cities, still the same party that can't tell you what a woman is. And they're the ones saving Mike Johnson. And you know what, Steve? We had Speaker Johnson at CPI this last week to come talk to the House Freedom Caucus, knowing that this was probably going to get triggered this week, this motion to vacate. And we went back through, you know, all the things that, you know, he's been a champion of and pushing. And he just sat there the entire time, didn't take any ownership, didn't take any accountability, and basically gave us the old, hey, I'm doing the best I can, guys, with this slim majority. And the answer is, my rebuttal is absolutely not. You are not doing the best job you could, Mr. Johnson. If you were, the Democrats would not be saving you. They would be trying to get rid of you. That is the way this town works. You know it, Steve. Natalie knows it. Everybody that watches this show knows it. If you actually fight for the American people, this town, the Democrats will try and get rid of you like they're trying to get rid of me right now.
I want to bring us up. Payson, is that you? Do you believe that reflects basically the vast majority of the rest of your district? Because your rest of your district is known as being incredibly patriotic, hardworking, and very kind of hard-headed in thinking through the issues in the nation. Do you think your Payson town hall represents your constituents?
Absolutely. And I'll be in Prescott tomorrow. It'll be I almost guarantee it'll be the exact same thing.
Okay. Natalie, we'll talk a little bit about the speech more in a little bit later. But I want every congressman, Republican congressman that supported Johnson to understand this. I gave a speech last night in front of the Palm Beach Republican Club. And that's about as far away, you know, the width of the country from Payson, but also a different demographic, a different, wealth level. You know, it's Palm Beach, you know, in one of the nicest hotels in Palm Beach. To a person, I made the same argument that MTG did. We had just covered it live. Natalie just joined us, just covered it live on the show. Congressman, I gave the exact same pitch you gave to that Republican Party Club of very wealthy people, huge donors, to a person, standing ovation to back MTG. They said Johnson has not, and then afterwards, both in the reception before and then afterwards at dinner, to a person, Johnson had not fought. He had not used leverage like Nancy Pelosi did. He was not a man of courage. He did not stand his word. And they're furious about things like the border in Ukraine and promises he made, looked into the camera, and they don't want to hear the mealy mouth. The congressman out there who voted for him should understand something. In the breadth of this country, in the conservative movement, in the MAGA movement, and basically 85 to 90% of the Republican Party back the citizens in Payson and Palm Beach to say, hey, this is outrageous. Hakeem Jeffries and the Democrats saved this guy for one reason. He's governing for the Democrats. Eli Crane.
No, I agree, Steve, and that's why I had to vote that way. I think I came on your show a week or two ago, and I actually said, hey, I don't think this is a great time for it. But I also told you guys if Marjorie Taylor Greene triggers this motion, that I'm not going to save Speaker Johnson because he doesn't deserve to be saved. And at every turn, he, you know, surrounds himself with staffers and members of Congress that don't represent and don't fight for the American people. And that's completely unacceptable. I know that the War Room posse doesn't believe that this country has much time left. We can't keep going on this trajectory for much longer. And that's why it's so important to make bold moves. You know, Steve, my voters didn't send me up here to, you know, pad or look out for my political career. And if I was looking out for my political career, Steve, that's not the move I would have made yesterday. But I told them I'd come up here and fight for them. I know they don't expect me to win every single time, but they do expect me to fight. And that's what I'm going to continue to do.
For your constituents and the folks in Palm Beach, I told them this. Yesterday was a win for us because it's the great unmasking. You had now, Stephanie Ruhle tried to call it the Unity Party. The Uniparty, as MTG said, they were there in full relief. And if your congressman voted not against MTG and against Crane, first off, the 10 that didn't vote, you ask him, why didn't he vote? Well, what was more important than this? Okay, the 10, you got to stand and deliver. Number two, if they voted with 196 Republicans, it's your duty to call them up today and say, get in their grill and say, hey, what's going on here? Why did you support the Democrats bailing this guy out? When actually this was, I think, worse in the first round, if you add it all up, the first round against McCarthy. What is your message to the conference? You guys are going to come back next week, and I'm sure being a, there's going to be a lot of hate and discontent. What is your message to the rest of your colleagues in the Republican Party right now about how we go forward?
My message, Steve, is, are we going to save this country or are we not? Period, point blank. And right now, it doesn't look like there's an appetite from the Republican Party to save this country. You know, we continue to play Republican politics 101, where we just continue to kick the can down the road or look for this optimal time to fight. And the bottom line is, time is running out. We have to make bold moves, and you're not going to win every time. It's not going to be comfortable if we're going to save this country. Okay, this isn't about getting a lobbying job at the end of this. This isn't about, you know, being a lifetime politician. This should be about our kids and grandkids and the next generations getting to grow up with what we had. And right now, that is not going to happen. It is just not going to happen. And thank you to the War Room Posse for supporting those of us that continue to fight. Thank you to the War Room Posse, you know, for holding us accountable. Because this is one of the reasons why so many of these weak politicians can come up here, vote with the Democrats constantly, and then come home and gaslight you because the American people don't pay attention. I know that doesn't happen with the War Room Posse because you guys are dialed in. And every time I come back to my district, I hear you guys are watching Bannon. I hear you guys are watching the War Room, Charlie Kirk, Jack Posobiec. And you guys are the ones that know what's going on, and you guys always have the best questions. So thank you for being informed. Thank you for supporting those of us that are fighting.
Before I let you go, you mentioned something I just want to bring it out. You were a Navy SEAL. You were in a number of gunfights. You were deployed many times in war zones. Did you guys, because you said they always say this, well, we got to wait till Trump comes back. We got to wait till we get a bigger majority. It's always, we got to wait. We got to wait to better circumstances. Did you have the opportunity as a Navy SEAL defending your country to pick and choose what fights you were going to take, or to wait until the terrain got better, to wait till the odds got better, to wait till you could see guys better, you had better intel? Did you have that luxury as a Navy SEAL?
No, well, Steve, we always tried to stack the deck in our favor when we could, but there were times overseas where we would get ambushed or we would get in a fight. And at those moments, you don't have time to, you know, get the upper hand. You have to fight, you have to move, you have to flank, or you have to retreat. And, you know, there's a lot of similarities between, you know, that world that I came from and this world that I'm in now. But I tell you what, it does feel a lot like my old days in the military, where we're always outnumbered up here. We're always surrounded. But, you know, like I said, I'm going to keep fighting. I'm proud to be one of the few up here. I'm proud to have a bunch of colleagues, and I'm proud to have the War Room Posse at our back.
Eli Crane, where can people find out about you? How can they find out about the event you're going to have in Prescott? Where do they go to get all your information, social media, all of it?
Yeah, Rep. Eli Crane on social media. Like I've told you guys, I already have one speaker, former speaker, headhunting me right now. Yesterday, I don't know, probably didn't help that very much. But if you guys want to make sure that I come back to Congress, please go to Eli for Arizona. Help me out. Make sure that I get to come back here and continue the fight. God bless you guys.
Hold on. Hang on. That guy's not still hanging around. He's not, this is a guy that didn't even know what district he was running in. That's not a serious. Is McCarthy's millions in the swamps millions? Are they still putting into that guy? Have they already raised the white flag on that?
Well, Steve, we have not heard of any withdrawal. So we're going to continue to believe that, you know, it's game on. And so until we stomp this guy in the primary, we're going to continue to fight and believe that he's you know, ready to take us out. And so, hey, EliForArizona.com, if you guys want to see me come back, keep praying for those of us up here and pray for our leaders in this country. Thank you guys so much for everything you do.
Congressman, honored to have you on here. Patriot and hero. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, guys.
Steve Stern, continue on. Tell people where they got to go. We want tens of thousands on these calls. We want people. Now's the time. You don't need to stroke a check. What you need to do is put your heart and soul in this. Steve Stern's one of the portals for this. Tell us once again, what do you got going?
All right, so let me tell you what's happening around the country because that's important. Sue O'Sullivan in Massachusetts, a blue state, has opened up 60 town committees. Can you imagine that? 60 town committees. She's now the state committee woman. Jeff Kuhner, he's helping us now. He's got 65,000 listeners on WRKO AM 680 radio. He just came on board. I'm going to be on there next week talking about precinct strategy. Get involved. We need everybody to get involved. We've got 39 days before most of the states cannot change what's going to happen in the election as far as voting. In other words, if we want to change anything to hand counts, it's got to be done in the next 39 days. So a lot of people are getting involved in California, which I know you don't like to state, but we got a girl, Tina Saleen. I speak to her every day. She asked me if I could turn California red. I said, I'm good, but I don't know if I'm that good. And we got started with 10 people. We got 50. Now we got 10,000. Now, one of the most important things that I want to do in South Carolina, Jeff Davis and his wife, Olga, every day they send out myscgop.com. We want to send a newsletter out in every state. So I want writers to call me. We want to start this in every state. So when you say something, Steve, on your show, boom, we get it out. Can you imagine if we have a writer with 50,000 people in every state, how we can get this message out? In Pennsylvania, John Farrow, he's my right-hand guy. Every day he's working on trying to get the election straightened out in Pennsylvania with Donna Ellingston and, again, Greg Stenstrom and a lot of people in Pennsylvania because we've got six counties, Allegheny, Burke, Erie, Philadelphia, York, and one other county that if we don't change them.
We got to bounce. One more time, give the overall number where they join these calls, what they have to do it. We got to bounce. Give it to so make sure everybody and Grace and them will push it out.
sstern1054@gmail.com will send you a link. We need 1,000 of your listeners to sign on today. We got to spread the word. Action, action, action.
And that call is going to be on the 16th of May. Is that when the next call is?
Live on X. We're going to have it live on Stern American. Wow. And I think you're going to put it live on Getter. We had 10,000. Thank you so much for doing that. But one other thing I want to talk about, Elizabeth Nader.
Steve, we got to bounce. Thank you very much, Steve Stern. Can't pay the IRS? You haven't filed in a while? Receiving threatening letters? Hey, it's about to get worse. You know why? The IRS is hiring an army of agents targeting hardworking Americans like you. They ain't going after the billionaires. They're coming after you. And you need warriors on your side. You need Tax Network USA. Tax Network USA has a brilliant strategy to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. For instance, they discover a limited special offer that the IRS is willing to waive $1 billion in penalties. Let me repeat that. The IRS is prepared to waive $1 billion in penalties. But you have to find out today whether you qualify. Never let the IRS come at you alone. Let Tax Network USA's attorneys handle it.
They have preferred direct lines to the IRS. They know which agents to work with and which agents to avoid. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debt and offer a best-in-class guarantee. Let me repeat that. They've already solved for folks just like yourself $1 billion in tax debts. Now schedule your free consultation. Let me repeat that. It's a free consultation now. Call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit the website taxnetworkusa.com/Bannon. That's taxnetworkusa.com/Bannon.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
If you haven't gotten it, make sure you go to birchgold.com/Bannon and get The End of the Dollar Empire, the fifth installment. You're going to love, all free, the central bank digital currency. We go through why the BRICS nations central banks are buying gold at record rates and why our Fed, besides monetizing the debt, is spending their time on a central bank digital currency. You'll get all the information. Go check it out at birchgold.com/Bannon. The End of the Dollar Empire. Just download it totally free. Ken, you're a California girl now, yes. now in Florida. So you're in a real red state. Can California, is that a fool's errand? Can California be flipped to red like it used to be? I mean, it's the home of millions and millions of MAGA voters.
Well, real quick, you're too humble. Last night was not a speech. It was a throwdown to standing ovation. Thanks. After standing ovation. And he never likes to brag about himself. But I've been to many of the events hosted by that club. Not to shade them, but they usually have a lot of empty seats. And I've never seen anyone so engaged. It was overflow, the line to get in. I've never seen the Colony Hotel.
They were fired up. These are fire-breathing populist nationalists.
But you know what, Steve, though? To be frank, They're not. This, when you talk about the donor class, and I don't use that totally in a pejorative sense, but these are the people who are funding. For example, one of the leading questions during Q&A was, a lot of my friends are giving money to Kevin McCarthy and his efforts to influence, you know, the slate of congressional candidates.
Get rid of Eli Crane.
Yeah. Can we tell them, is that a good idea? Should we not do that? Right. Totally innocent. But that shows you the mindset, right? They're just not informed. They're not.
But they just need to get, once they get informed, there are populist nationalists there. I mean, they're fired
and
up.
But that's precisely why Fox News doesn't throw to Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yes.
Because they want to keep these, again, very intelligent, yes, intellectual,
yes,
people.
Yes.
But
yes,
in this unity mindset, yes, in sort of this fog of war that, and frankly, you see it in a lot of the speakers that these clubs have. You know, they want to talk tax policy. And it's epitomized, I think, sort of the mindset of the group of Republicans who did the post-election autopsy, where when the grassroots, when you guys,
yes,
were saying,
yes,
no, we need to throw down on immigration, they were saying, actually, no, the reason why we lost is because we haven't done enough to court the Hispanic vote and we need to fight more.
Amnesty, and
comprehensive immigration,
right,
reform, right?
Yes.
That goes in line with unity. If you ever hear that in Washington, D.C.,
yes,
shiver down the spine. But to answer your question, you know, I wish California would turn red. There's a reason that I left. And parts of it are, again, it's not a monolith. If you go to the outskirts, which really are just like 20 minutes outside the hub of LA and Santa Monica. But I think
the outskirts, it's called the Inland Empire. It's only 4/5 of the state. But of course, if you're LA, right, in Beverly Hills or Bel Air, it's the outskirts, the hinterland.
There's, yeah, buried lead. No. But unfortunately, I think under Joe Biden, with the massive numbers, the waves of just immigrant invaders that you've seen come in, and with the lax immigration and voting laws, I think that really is going to complicate.
You think that's too tough a hill to climb?
Yes, but the silver lining to it, and I think you see it epitomized by Andrew Breitbart, some of the most staunch right-wing populist fighters come from Los Angeles because they see what
Stephen
immigration
Miller,
has
Andrew
done.
Stephen Miller, Andrew Breitbart, Ben Shapiro, Alex Marlowe, that whole group.
You
all
know,
came
growing
from,
up, my dad was, yeah, a doctor. He was never home because he was always taking care of illegal immigrants and not getting paid in the,
yes,
hospitals. So it radicalizes, I use that term in the best way possible, but you see the reality. Or even though every state is a border state, I think some states more so than others really face firsthand the ramifications of it. So,
and that's California, no doubt.
No doubt. And
it's,
I think,
transformed
too,
the state.
You got to link it to those NGOs are,
yes,
so active, especially
so
in California. And,
yes,
with the Tides Foundation announcing that new $200 million to turn out the vote. Again, the same NGO that is inviting illegal immigrants in is now playing in the field of turning out the vote, ballot harvesting. That is a clear conflict of interest. Of course, they're also involved in pandemic prevention and all things, other
all
ways of manipulating
it,
the election. But it's a very convoluted web in California's. A key part in it.
Okay, from what my favorite paper, Epoch Times, comes Adam Malone. He's written a brilliant piece about our own Dr. Peter Navarro, currently on hiatus while he's in a federal prison for a misdemeanor, should be President Trump's vice president. Adam, I want to make sure everybody, it's a Substack. I think it's Substack and up on your, up in Epoch Times too. Walk me through this. And I want everybody, Grace and Mo and all the others. Can you guys please push this out? Because it must be read. Why should Peter Navarro be the vice presidential pick of Donald Trump?
Yes, sir. So I lay this out in my piece, which was published Tuesday, to Dr. Navarro's Substack. It's called President Trump, My Answer to Your Messages, Dr. Peter Navarro for Vice President. And Dr. Navarro has been sentenced to 4 months or 120 days of political imprisonment. That would mean that within 2 days of the last day of the Republican National Convention, which would be July 18th, Dr. Navarro would be released from political imprisonment. And if he were to appear on stage with President Trump as his vice president pick, the people in my home region, which is the steel region, the steel belt, which includes Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, would rejoice. My father's a steel worker. I'm from Northwest Indiana, and we would rejoice. Also, people from disadvantaged and people from disadvantaged backgrounds, people who are persecuted from across the nation, would be inspired to see President Trump and Dr. Navarro show us how to face down persecution and to emerge victorious and emerge fighting for us and our nation even stronger than before. Dr. Navarro has shown over the years that he is loyal to President Trump and he is authentic in his alignment with President Trump's vision and with his platform for the American people. Like President Trump, he has worked for decades to defend the American people, defend the United States, defend American workers against the economic aggression of totalitarian China. And that's borne out in all of his work. You can go back and look at his documentary, Death by China. You can read his books, The Coming China Wars, Death by China, and Crouching Tiger, what China's militarism means for the world. And you can see that, like President Trump, he has been working on this for decades. Also, you can see that, like President Trump, he has an amazing work ethic, and that's borne out in all of his accomplishments to date so far. If you look at his track record, you see that he was assistant to President Trump and director of the White House Office of Trade and Manufacturing Policy from 2017 to 2021. President Trump has written on Truth Social that he is his single greatest trade negotiator with China, and China paid the United States hundreds of billions of dollars during the first Trump administration. He's earned a PhD in economics from Harvard University, has served for decades as a professor at the University of California, Irvine, was the Defense Production Act policy coordinator during the pandemic. And also, you were talking earlier about the election fraud that took place in the 2020 presidential election. Dr. Navarro completed the Navarro Report, which is the definitive documentation, scholarly documentation with statistical receipts of the widespread results changing
fraud. Adam, hang on for 1 second. We'll hold you through the break. Short commercial break. Adam Malone next. Also, the Wall Street Journal joins us. Warpath Coffee. Get on the Warpath today. Warpath.coffee/warm to get your discount.
Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Drink Warpath Coffee.
I love that. You're a great wingman. Don't drink the Warpath.coffee. Back in 90 seconds.
I want to warn you of a huge change that could be coming to our money and our bank accounts. First, think back to 9/11. Shortly after, the government pushed through the Patriot Act. This gave the government power to spy on innocent Americans by monitoring our phone and email and tracking our movement across the internet. Now, Jim Rickards, editor of the independent financial newsletter Strategic Intelligence and New York Times bestselling author, is warning about a coming event that could elevate this governmental surveillance to a terrifying new level. In fact, some of the guests I've had on the War Room believe that the government will soon expand their powers to track our every move. If we say the wrong things on social media, donate to the wrong causes, buy firearms, or even vote MAGA, the government may be able to shut us out of our bank accounts. I can't say for sure if this will happen, but it's an interesting and dire warning. Fortunately, Jim Rickards, an American patriot and friend of mine, has made it his mission to educate us on what he believes is coming and how to protect yourself from the possibility of programmable money. Watch Jim's warning video now before it's censored like I've been in the past. Go to RickardsWarRoom.com. That's RickardsWarRoom.com now to see the video.
Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.